Hello, and welcome to Is Able, the radio show about possibility, where we look at what a person with disabilities can do rather than what they cannot do. Hello, this is Dr. Steve Nurse, and this is, I think, our third or fourth series and that we're going to do on Disabled. And this show is going to be about learning disabilities. Learning disabilities are really are what we would call hidden disabilities. In other words, if you have a broken leg or you use a cane because you have a visual impairment, that's pretty obvious. When you have a learning disability, it's much different. And also, when you have a learning disability, it's tougher for people to understand what that is. Yet, a learning disability can be as disabling as a physical or sensory disability. So the last time we were getting ready to do this, and I'm working with Dr. Linda Price, retired from Temple University, we got down here at the station and we were ready to go. And she was on her way in a car with her husband and dogs and heading for Texas because of the hurricane in Louisiana. And so she's down there now and tucked in and ready to go. So Linda is, she and I have known each other for many years. The last time we saw each other, you were at a conference here in Seattle.
Right.
And Linda has really specialized in learning disabilities, knows a lot about them. She and I worked with a program several summers in Temple University called, it was called Sisters in Science, working,
right,
working with young minority women to get them involved in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And Linda is now retired and is in Louisiana, and but is still very active. When she sends me stuff, she does a lot of writing, and that's good. But she also has a website, littleoldladyprofessor.com. Is that right, Linda?
That's it, littleoldladyprofessor.com, because that's what I am.
Yes.
I'm not a .com, but I'm a little old lady.
Yes, and it's just amazing that people our age can, you know, learn how to use all this technology. You know, it's usually me asking my 8-year-old granddaughter, Grandpa, here's how you do that, you know, and she knows how to do that. So we also want to talk about, specifically when we talk about learning disabilities, how they affect adolescents and adults. We know a lot about how learning disabilities affect kids in school. Is that fair to say, Linda?
Absolutely. What's so ironic about learning disabilities, so we're going to talk about a lot of ironies in this series, but the big one is that there are literally libraries full of books about kids with learning disabilities. And yet, if you would today try to find a curriculum for adults with learning disabilities, there is nothing. Nothing. Literally nothing.
And I recall when I was first teaching in a middle school, that was really in the 70s and 80s. And we were just even learning about learning disabilities in school at that time. And one of the problems that I saw at that time was a lot of kids were being misdiagnosed. It was it was easy, and we'll talk about that in one of our other programs, about some of the tips that, you know, not exactly a Cosmo question of 100 questions, do you have a learning disability? But I think that that's really important to know. And we're also going to talk about, and we'll let you know about this a little later, but soft skills. And soft skills are those that, I guess, Linda, you can expound on this a little bit, but I think it's a good way to put it in a nutshell is those skills that everyone in this society needs to survive.
Go ahead, Steve. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. That's okay. Just fine.
Okay. So what's always been interesting to me is that employers are always trying to figure out how to hire new employees and how to keep the employees that they've got. And so they were looking at what kinds of skills do their employees need. Now, that was whether you were a computer programmer or a nurse or you scrub floors. I mean, what were the basic skills that every employee needs? And what they came up with were two categories. The first one was what they call hard skills, and these are the skills that are you actually use as part of the job, like computers. Maybe if you're a chef in a restaurant, that you're able to use various kinds of equipment. If you're a bus driver, that you have the proper license. You know, it's the actual physical skills that you need to do that job every day.
Those tasks. Those components of the job that, that we need to do. Whatever, if you're a maid, you need to know how to make a bed. I mean, the simple things like that.
Exactly. And that's typically what employers have always looked for. When you go to a job interview, what they do is they say, okay, if you know, you're going to be a secretary, how many words per minute can you type? Or if you're going to be work at computers, what kinds of software programs do you know? So those are hard skills. However, when they really got into looking at why they were losing employees and why they were having trouble finding qualified employees to come into the workplace, what they found was at least 50 to 60% or more of all of the skills that were needed were what they call soft skills. And that is basically the ability to get along with other people. As a matter of fact, I love this fun fact, Steve. The number one reason why people get fired from a job is because they can't get along with other people. That's the number one reason. You could be the most qualified person in the world, but if you cannot get along with your colleagues, there's a good chance that at some point you will get demoted or fired.
I was going to say, Linda, I think you know, another thing is that's a soft skill. When I was working in the area of transition, another area why people don't or lose their jobs is they don't show up for a job on time. That really is a soft skill, at least.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is that dependability, which is what you were just talking about, is there are probably 8 to 10 different soft skills, and I'm sure we'll get into that in another broadcast. But dependability is a big one. Another one, one of the top 5 reasons why people get fired from jobs is because they're not ethical. Ethics are a big soft skill. For example, you know, maybe you work someplace where somebody makes a lot of personal phone calls. Or I know when I was at Temple, one of the other professors was always taking home school supplies. I mean, literally taking home boxes of school supplies. You know, all of those things are considered ethics. And what's interesting is that employers tell us that you have to teach soft skills. My favorite soft skill that we're going to talk a lot about is optimism. Optimism and having an optimistic outlook is a very important soft skill. And yet, folks with learning disabilities, and by the way, folks with learning disabilities are able to get jobs, Steve, but many of them are not able to keep jobs. And this is an extreme example, but I worked with one young man in New Jersey that had had 8 jobs in 9 months. And he was the kind of kid that he could sell snow to Eskimos. I mean, he had amazing soft skills, but he didn't have the technical skills to stay on the job.
It's
that balance between hard skills, which is what we spend all of our time teaching people, and soft skills, which people kind of have to pick up on their own. That's what makes or breaks, apparently, a good employee. And the research shows this. I mean, there are numerous studies that back that up.
And I think that, as I look around me, and there aren't that many people around me, just Rick, but, I've been in education and done teaching for 50 years or more, and I'm still trying to do it. You know, mm-hmm. Rick worked for the same agency, the sewer system here on the island for, what, Rick, 40 years or? Yeah,
wow.
At least 40 years. And you're right. And I also appreciate that thing about ethics. I'm putting the voice of Ashon Penn right back that I just put in my pocket. I think that is really, really true. We just look at tasks and not look at what goes along with them. And with learning disabilities, you can find ways to work around these. Linda, can you give me a working definition that you might use when we're talking about learning disabilities? Because we tend to think about learning disabilities as dyslexia or, reading things backwards. We have so many misconceptions of learning disabilities.
Absolutely. What's interesting is there are as many learning definitions for learning disabilities in the United States as Taylor Swift has boyfriends, okay?
I like that. That's very good.
You know, and I say, you know me, I'm a little bit of a smart aleck, but that absolutely is true. Every state has its own definition of LD. Many school districts have their own definition of LD, and the federal government has the definition of LD. So there are lots and lots and lots of definitions. The one that I keep going back to, and I call it the gold standard, is from the National Joint Committee on Learning Disabilities from 2017. And it is a longer definition, and Steve, you and I can easily give that to people if they want the long definition. But the quick definition of that, the summary, is learning disabilities are a neurological condition. They are seen as difficulties with listening, speaking, spatial orientation, reading, writing, reasoning, or math. They are also related to problems with socialization, nonverbal, or organizational skills. And, Steve, the bottom line about that is that the term learning disabilities is an umbrella term. It's like if, God forbid, you or Rick would have cancer, the first thing somebody would say to you would be, well, what kind of cancer do you have? Do you have lung cancer? Do you have cancer, do you have bone cancer?
Right.
What is it that you've got? Learning disabilities, because it is a neurological condition, it is inherent in the person, in their brain itself, that will cover different people will have different kinds of learning disabilities. So the joy and the curse of the field of LD is no two people are alike.
And don't you think also that while we can, a person with a learning disability can learn ways, let's say we have an issue with memory. Maybe you write things down in a diary or write things down in a book or now put things on your cell phone with a little ding to tell you now is the time to do a test, but at the same time that you can find coping skills, the fact that you all of a sudden become an adolescent, 13 or, whatever you want to look at that, or an adult, you don't lose the learning disability.
Well, you never do. You never do, because you never grow out of it. You know? It doesn't go away, Steve. I think that's one of the biggest fallacies. You know, okay, it's like if you're born with, let's say, brown eyes, you could go out and get colored contacts and change your eyes to green, but that's an accommodation. You basically put something, a lens over your eye color. You will always have brown eyes until the day you die. People with learning disabilities are born with learning disabilities, they live with them, and they die with them. It's just that simple.
And I think that there are some things, you know, when I was teaching, I caught myself many times telling students, just try harder. You know, how do you try harder? Most kids are trying as hard as they can.
Absolutely.
Someone gave me the example that said, it's like if you had a cold and you have a fever of 102, and you tell the kid, or you tell the person, I'll give you $100 if you can reduce your temperature down to 98.
Exactly.
You know, there
that
are things,
is a wonderful, yeah.
You know, there are things that you can do and things that you can't do that work. You know, do we know how many, I mean, there have to be some statistics. Do we know how many people have learning disabilities or a percent
of
people?
My friend Steve, I wish I could see you right now so you could see all my gray hair, because there's 7 gray hairs in my head from trying to figure out the statistics on the incidence of LD. And I will tell you, I have been in this field for over 35 years, and the figures range. Now, this is just in the United States. The figures range anywhere from 4 up to 20% of the population.
Wow.
So, but this is the part you're going to love, and this is one of my favorite statistics. Okay, I would say if we're ranging from 4 to 20%, probably a median, you know, like a median estimate would be 10% of all the people in the United States have some form of LD. Okay, that sounds pretty quick and dirty, 10%. We have 330 million people in the United States today, so that's roughly 33 million people. This is not brain surgery. Now, this is where it gets fun. This is where it gets real interesting. The entire population, my darling, of the cities, New York City, Los Angeles, and Chicago, are approximately 15 million people. So if you would take every man, woman, and child in L.A., New York City, and Chicago and pretend that they have a learning disability, that would be exactly half, not all, but half of the total population of people that have learning disabilities in the United States. If you want to talk about the whole population of people that have learning disabilities in the United States, that would be the size of Texas. So imagine you've got a state the size of Texas with Dallas and Houston and Fort Worth and Austin and all those cities. Nobody can read or write. They're all having trouble. They're all having organizational skills. They all are having problems with social skills. They all have auditory memory problems. Imagine a state the size of Texas with all of those people having all of those disabilities, and that's what we have in the United States today.
And, you know, with all the legislation going on right now in Texas, some people may believe that a good percentage of them can't read or write as it is right now.
I was just going to say, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in Texas.
Yes.
But do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Isn't
that
incredible?
Do all those people with learning disabilities need to be, I hate to use the term remediation, but many of those people are probably, you know, we talk about asymptomatic or they, you know, people don't know. Do all those people need some kind of assistance with their learning disability or?
Well, that is just an outstanding question, but I'm going to turn it around for you to kind of give you and your listeners something to think about. Learning disabilities is also a social phenomenon, and nobody in their right mind that I have ever talked to wants to admit they have a learning disability because it's so people don't know what that means. And as one adult told me, they'll think I'm retarded, or they'll think I'm lazy, or they'll think I'm stupid. So people with LD go out of their way to try to kind of blend into the wallpaper. But imagine, if you would, let's say before the Vietnam War, or even after the Vietnam War, that there were all these people in the United States that had post-traumatic stress disorder. They don't go around walking up to people and going, hi, you know, my name is Sally, and I served in the 3rd Division in Vietnam, and I can't sleep nights because I'm really, really crazy because of my post-traumatic stress disorder. Nobody ever did that because they're ashamed of it. They're trying to hide it. LD is exactly the same way. With maybe, and I've been in the field 35 years, with maybe a handful of people, the vast majority of people with LD really need help. They really need accommodations. They really need support. But nobody knows what they're talking about, and nobody knows how to help them.
You know,
isn't that sad?
It is. And, you know, I have a really good example of that. When I was teaching, first teaching, and I had a resource room, and I worked with several kids who had learning, who were diagnosed or, you know, put in the category of having a learning disability. I remember working with this one young man who was very smart, and I was having him read some passages out of a book and talk about trying to mask this or so that somebody doesn't know. I had him read this one page, and he read it flawlessly, just great. And then I said, I went back on the page and I pointed to a word and I said, what is this word? He had no idea.
Right.
To mask that page, he had he had memorized the whole page.
That's right. That's
he had
exactly
memorized
it.
The whole page.
That's right.
And yet he couldn't look at a word, you know, phonetically sound it out and do that. So we have, you know, and we talk about learning disabilities as being a hidden disability. It's it's hidden because it's not obvious, but it's also hidden because people with learning disabilities tend to hide it themselves.
Well, and they feel like they have to. You know, one adult told me one time, and it just almost brought tears to my eyes. She said, Dr. Price, he said, I can't talk about my LD to my family because it'd be like I was saying if I were gay. You know?
Yeah.
And the way he was.
How do you approach that?
Me,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like coming out of the closet almost. And believe me, I have many dear friends who are gay. And I am so sympathetic to all of the messages and all of the insanity that they have to deal with every day. Even in 2021, imagine if you had to tell somebody, you know, I'm a really smart person and I really am a success at my job, but I can't read, or I don't remember anything that you told me. You know, one of my favorite recent stories, I know you're going to love this, is, do you like Steven Spielberg, Steve?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Steven Spielberg, within the last 2 years, has finally revealed that he has severe dyslexia. Now, this is a man that is probably one of the most prolific and talented filmmakers of the 20th century, and he was absolutely ashamed and embarrassed to let anyone know that he could not read. And he now says that one of the reasons why his movies were so well received is because he had to think in pictures. He couldn't read books. He couldn't, like, go back and decode words. So what he would do is he would think like a movie. He would think in pictures. And when he finally came out, you should pardon my language, when he finally came out of the closet, he did not go to Time Magazine or People or go on 60 Minutes to talk about his LD. He talked to a young college student who also had severe dyslexia. They did a nice little YouTube video, and they talked about Steven Spielberg being dyslexic. I mean, think of the courage it must have taken for him to do that.
And there's a whole list of I mean, we've all seen these lists of famous people with learning disabilities.
Right.
And I also, you know, and when I was working at the university and working with different kids with different types of disabilities, I had one student that I worked with that had a learning disability. And to remember things, to compartmentalize things, he would tell me, he would say, the last time I saw you was 3 weeks ago at 10 o'clock. And and he said, what I do is I essentially build this high-rise building. And for the last time I saw you is like floor one. I can remember what's on floor one. The next time I saw you, it's floor two. And and he could remember, even though he could not read, he could remember what was on floor three when the last time he saw me, what the weather was like, where we were at. Even what we discussed. So I think that we that's one of the myths we really need to take down is that persons with learning disabilities are not unintelligent.
Absolutely. You know,
can you think of other people that I'm kind of remembering that list, but
I can, but can I tell you one or two stories out of my own personal experience?
Sure, we've got a couple minutes before we end this presentation, and we can carry these on to our next show, but go ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, let me give you the list of the famous people. Agatha Christie, who has been more highly published in the world even than the Bible, was so severely dyslexic that she was never able to read her own manuscripts. And she had to have an editor who must have a place in heaven who took all of her work and made it intelligible so it could be published. Cher is LD. Tom Cruise had to hire somebody to come and to read his scripts to him so he could memorize them because he's so LD. Whoopi Goldberg is LD. Bloomberg, is it Bloomberg, the guy that just tried to send the rocket ship into space, the guy that owns Virgin Airlines.
That's Branson.
Right. He's LD. He's one of probably the four or five people that I know that talks openly about his dyslexia. So there's literally, if you want to get on and Google, there's tons of people who are very famous, very successful, who have learning disabilities. What I'm more concerned about is all of those people who are not famous and who are not successful. And those are the ones I think we're going to be talking about in these broadcasts. And one example of that was when I was first starting to teach at the University of Minnesota, they brought me a young college student in, and they said, be very careful, Linda, because he hates women. And I said, what are you talking about? And they said, when you meet him, leave your door open. And I left my door open. He came in. He was referred to me for plagiarism because he had been literally copying all of these other term papers, and he was going to get kicked out of the university. And I said, why are you doing this? And he said, because I can't read and I can't write. And he looked at me, and he had this very strange look in his eye, and I said, what's going on in terms of your history with reading? Come to find out, his father had been severely dyslexic, and he would beat his son with a belt anytime he couldn't read. And so he grew up with this memory of this abuse and tying that into reading. All of the people that tried to teach him to read, Steve, were women. They were all women teachers. And so because of that, he also carried this tremendous anger against women.
Wow. And I think
now, that's extreme.
That is an extreme. And I think that is a good place to stop our first broadcast here. And we will carry on in our next session, number two. So take care, everybody. Have a great day.
To stream this or any other episode of Is Abled with Dr. Stephen W. Nurse, go to voiceofashon.org and look under the Shows tab.